Thank you, Lord, for your abundance to pardon, to forgive, to renew, to cleanse, to make new. Thank you, Lord, that you receive each one this morning. No matter what our history, our past, you have a hope and a future for everyone here. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you are here with us today. Thank you, Lord, for just a special time in your presence as we worship together. We pray, Lord, that you received our praises. Your word says that you're enthroned on our praises. Lord, we just declare you king over our lives, king over this church, king over this valley. Take your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Krista and the band. Very special. Thank you for your testimony, Adrian. Adrian didn't have opportunity to share her testimony 2 weeks ago during the testimony service as she was busy working, but we're so glad that you could share with us this morning. It was very encouraging. Thank you. And it's just a reminder to all of us. I love Auntie Adrian's humility and just the thankfulness in her heart. And if we go and read there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 to 12, it's just a reminder to each of us today as well that we ought to remain in a place of gratitude concerning our relationship with the Lord, concerning our salvation. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We should never forget where our help comes from. I love it how the rugby players often give glory to God in that way after they've played a good game, and then they get interviewed afterwards and they always say, well, you know, we know where our help comes from. I know where my strength comes from. We must always remember every good thing that we have is from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. Let us always give him the due acknowledgement and credit and thanksgiving. It's New Life Month, and just want to quickly look at some aspects of salvation. And if we consider the process of salvation and just some of the things that we sometimes forget or take for granted as we continue in our journey with the Lord, things that we should be tremendously grateful for. Firstly, that we have been saved from the pleasure of sin. Through repentance, we have changed our minds, our hearts, our attitude towards sin. We no longer think of sin as something harmless and just pleasurable, but we understand its destructive nature in our lives. And we've chosen to turn 180 degrees and walk in the opposite direction. We have been saved from the pleasure of sin through repentance. We have also been saved from the penalty of sin. The word says that we are justified. That means that we have been declared innocent even though we are guilty. We have been justified. We no longer have that sword hanging over our necks. We no longer have that penalty of our sin, ultimate death, eternal banishment from God. That is hell waiting for us. We have been saved from that. The believer, upon death and being set free from the confines of this body, means that he's in God's presence. And I believe the time between shutting your eyes and dying on earth and waking up in glory with the Lord, I believe it feels like when we get put under general anesthetic, no matter how long that time is that we were out for, it feels like a second when you wake up. And that's how it's going to be, I believe, when after we die and then we wake up in God's glory with our resurrected body upon the return of Christ, something to look forward to. We are being saved. See, salvation is not a one-time event. It's a process. We are being saved from the power of sin, and that process is called sanctification. It's a lifelong process because the believer is not instantly made perfect in every way. Although our spirits get born, come alive through the Holy Spirit in Christ, our soul remains imperfect, and we embark on a process of sanctification, of becoming holy, becoming more like Jesus. This is our common goal as believers, to become more like Christ. There's two of us in the relationship. One of us needs to change, and that is us. Then finally, we will be saved from the presence of sin. That is called glorification. That's when we are made completely perfect in an instant, having received our resurrected bodies upon the return of Christ. Ultimate salvation. So, where does salvation start? We need to go and look at John chapter 3. In verse 3 to 5, we have this learned man, this scholar, this Pharisee, Nicodemus, that saw what Jesus was doing. And obviously, there was already a lot of controversy around Jesus. And so, he came to Jesus at night, not wanting any of his contemporaries to see him. And he wanted to find out about the kingdom of God that Jesus was preaching. And so, he asked the Lord, and Jesus says to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Not a very good question. But he took Jesus at his word because he saw what Jesus was doing. He knew Jesus was from God. And he wanted to understand this. This is the same attitude with which we should come to Jesus. If we don't understand something in Scripture, we mustn't just write it off. We must ask God, "Reveal this to me. Reveal this truth to me. I don't understand it. This clashes with my understanding, my upbringing, my background. But I recognize that I'm not perfect. I need to change. I need to align myself with the Word of God." So Nicodemus asks, "Explain this to me." So Jesus replies once more and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Being born of water, Jesus refers to natural birth, your mother's water breaking and you getting born into the world. So he says, yes, that's right, you get born naturally. That's what you were referring to. But then the born again, the rebirth that needs to take place is one that is spiritual, not natural. He distinguishes between the two. You need to be born again in the Spirit. And then you can see, and then you can enter the kingdom of God. Otherwise, the door stays shut. There's no other way that we can earn our place in heaven or in God's presence. We have an inherent fundamental problem that is mankind, and it's called sin. We are born in it. We are born naturally, but that is not life. The Bible says that when we come to Christ, we move from death to life. So you're born spiritually dead. Once you're born, it's a kind of it's an existence. It's not life yet. You're not living, you're existing before you surrender to Jesus Christ. You're existing. It's like drinking no-name brand cola instead of Coca-Cola, the real deal. Don't allow the enemy to trick you into staying in that counterfeit existence when there's something so much better waiting for you on the other side of your decision to follow Christ. It's the counterfeit. It's the fake. We need to get to the real deal. That was always God's intention. Adam and Eve had it for a while. They had the real deal and they gave it away. We were born after them in their lineage. So we were born into that existence. But God's plan from the beginning was for us to be with Him. And He was not outwitted at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He set a plan in motion to buy us back, to redeem us, to bring us near, to reconcile us to Him. And He had it prophesied throughout the ages. And at the appointed time, at the right time, the word says, He sent His Son, the mediator, the door, the entrance for mankind back to God, into the kingdom. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, as we read there, that shows us the starting point of salvation. At that point, we receive a new nature. Spiritually, we come alive. We enter a spiritual dimension. Our eyes open up to the spiritual realities around us. I remember being in London when I got saved, and just as my spiritual eyes were opened in an instant, and I looked around me and I just saw the enemy's fingerprints everywhere. I just saw evil around me and I wanted to get away from it, and there was nowhere I could go to get away from it. But I started learning how to find my rest in God despite the brokenness around me, and started finding my purpose in this life. And there will be resistance. The enemy knows when you're saved and when you're living for God, and he doesn't like that, and he comes for you. But in those early exchanges, you soon learn to rely and to understand that our God is greater. You start realizing the authority that God has given you, the authority that Adam and Eve surrendered and gave away to the enemy, so that when we are born into this world, we are born under the sway of the wicked one. This is why it is our privilege and responsibility as parents to raise our children in the way of the Lord, so that they can know who God is and they can make their own informed decision to follow Him. Yes, there's a grace upon our children that if they had to die young, that's between them and God, but I leave the little ones, I believe they go to Him. You can't put an age on that. That's person specific. But at some point, that child can understand and has received that revelation to make the decision for themselves. A parent cannot choose for their child except to choose to train them up. But the person, the individual, has to choose for themselves. God has no grandchildren. He's only got children. Each one has to choose for themselves. Have you chosen? Because it's not a one-time choice. It's not a case of once saved, always saved. It's a daily choice. Matthew 16:24. You've got to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. Daily. To those who believe and keep on believing, they will be saved. It's not a one-time thing. At that point of salvation, you've also received an eternal purpose. I had a very real form of depression between my school years and my time of getting saved, where I really felt life was pointless. It was a Monday to Friday kind of surviving, and then live it up over the weekend and hope you don't die in the process, and then back to the grindstone on Monday. But what was the point to life? I tried everything to get pleasure and joy out of life, but nothing filled that void. But the moment that I met God, suddenly my life gained purpose. The question to life was answered for me. There's something bigger than just my existence. There's something bigger to live for. And then we receive a new direction. We receive a new direction. You were heading in one way before you knew Christ. And then at some point you met him, or it might have been over a time that he drew you closer and you started changing. The course of your life started changing. And right now you're heading in a totally different direction. Praise God. Because that initial direction, well, that's heading to hell. None of us want to go there, least of all God. He didn't make hell for people. He wants us to be with him in heaven. The whole world is trying to get to heaven right now. A lot of people, though, are just doing it the wrong way. They think that if they wage a holy war and they take some people out with them, that they will get there. Guaranteed ticket into paradise. They've been taught wrong. They've believed wrong. But there's one God, and he's made all of us, and he loves everyone. He loves the suicide bomber. We do not just need to pray for ourselves, we need to pray for them, for their salvation. We need to reach out to them. Soon the doors in Europe are going to start shutting to the church as the lies spread and different laws get passed. Now is a window of opportunity. We need to be praying now. If we can't get there, we need to be praying that God sends people. The world's in a mess. We are very privileged and sheltered here in South Africa, so that we are years behind what happens in the rest. But we need to be praying. People are looking for God. People want to be in paradise. Their idea, they want to be in heaven. That's actually what they want. They got sold a counterfeit. They got sold a lie. But man's quest from the beginning has been to find God, but he's not hiding from anyone. And the truth is out there. The Word of God is the most distributed book in the world. Also the most dangerous. It can get you killed more than any other book in over 40 countries. Because the enemy, he's the one that's trying to keep us away from God. Ephesians 2 verse 13. It's beautiful what Jesus did for us at the cross. But now, in Christ Jesus, you once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus reconciled us to the Father. He's the one who closed the gap. We don't pray through anyone except through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man. And that is Jesus Christ. We must be careful of idolizing certain things, making our own deities. We need to stay focused on the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 9. Just stick with me on this. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we came to Christ, we were good as dead. We were dead. Maybe it doesn't look like it. I see dead people out there. I see dead people. Because their spirits are dead. They're as good as dead. Why? Because what is most important, what you are first and foremost, is spirit. That is what's going to continue. I don't know if you've noticed, but our bodies get wrinkly with age. We start looking different 20, 30 years down the line. The body is going to fade away, but your spirit is going to continue for an eternity. Our soul, our mind, our emotions, our will, that also changes. And with age, sometimes doesn't stay as sharp. But our spirit continues for eternity. This is the most important. This is what determines whether you are dead or alive, if you have chosen Jesus Christ. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There's no other way to get to heaven. There's no other way to have relationship with God other than faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not because of anything we've done. We cannot ever say we deserve to be saved. We cannot say that. What we deserve is hell. It's God's mercy that keeps us out of there. It's God's grace in giving us what we do not deserve, that we are saved. We have passed from death to life. This is the second life that we are living. This is the new life that we have been given. We are no longer slaves of sin. Our propensity is no longer towards sin. But we are on the other spectrum of the pendulum, and our propensity is now towards choosing Christ, towards choosing righteousness, towards holiness. We have passed from death to life. We are no longer on that side. We have crossed over into eternal life. When did our eternal life start? It started when we chose Jesus, and it will continue as long as we keep choosing him into eternity. We might still be in our bodies here, but there's very little that changes when we get saved, except that our bodies we've discarded of these earthly tents, and we go through into the fullness of God's presence and the fullness of his glory. But eternal life for the believer has already begun. It's determined by whether you've been born again, if your spirit has been made alive by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus through faith in him. We have passed from death to life. Romans 5, verse 17. Since by the one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Where our sin abounded, God's grace has abounded to us even more. There's no one who's too far lost to be saved. You might think you've met such a person, or you might know where to find such people. They do not exist. We see this week after week in Drakenstein, where we work in the maximum section. And we had one of our brothers there come testify 2 weeks ago. A murderer that God saved, that the world would have written off. But God does not write anyone off. Don't stop praying for your family, for your friends, for acquaintances that you've met that do not know the Lord yet. Don't stop praying. God has a plan for them. And we must never become blasé about it. It's precious, and God has asked us to be part of that plan. He's given us a responsibility to love people. Part of that means praying for them, reaching out, sharing with them, testifying, giving, sharing. You see, we were born into Adam's bloodline. But after we got saved, we were grafted into the vine. Now it's God's blood through Jesus Christ flowing through our veins. We've been regenerated at the new birth, made new. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that the old things have passed away. We have been made new. It's amazing, God's grace in our lives. And He works with each of us differently. Each of us have a different past. Each of us have a different future in Him. A calling, what He wants us to do in this life. I'm so grateful for the Lord. I've said it so many times. There were countless times where I came very close to dying before I knew Jesus. And I lived very recklessly, and I punished my body in different ways. There were times when my liver crackled like a fresh packet of Willard's chips. And I had alcohol poisoning a number of times. I went for certain tests after I got saved, because certain people were worried about me, because now I'm believing in God, and that's just got to be crazy. So that test done, CAT scans, you name it. Tested all my organ functions and everything. And the test came back. I was just grateful, not very surprised, because I felt God's power coming through me from top to toe, not just over me, but through me. I felt every cell in my body respond to the love of God and renew and regenerate. And so the test came back. I was 25 years old, and they say that, you know, my organs were functioning like a healthy teenager, like at its peak. And I knew I'd done damage, and God just regenerated. And what God has done for me, He can do for you. And I believe He has with many of you already. Romans 8 verse 2 says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We have been called to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God. Before that, we were trapped, slaves of sin, under the law of sin and death. Sin ultimately always leads to death. And that was our future before we came to know Christ. But now, we are under the law of the Spirit of life through Jesus Christ. We have been set free. Praise the Lord. As we follow the Spirit, we fulfill and surpass every human and man-made and Old Testament law. We have been led into a higher righteousness. Because even no matter how many laws, even if you want to add to the 630 odd laws that they had, that the Israelites were trying to adhere to, even though it's impossible, which is why they had to keep on sacrificing, but the blood of goats and bulls can never take away sin. And they were under that law. But now, as we follow the Spirit of God, even if you had to add to those laws, it still wouldn't make provision for laws of omission, where God asks you to do something that's not written down, but he asks you to do it and you don't do it, then you have sinned. So there's impossible in relationship with God to live a sinless life if you have not got the Spirit of God, if you're not led by the Spirit, if you're trying to adhere to some laws. And still, there are many that call themselves Christians that want to complete in the flesh and through laws what God has started in the Spirit. No, we need to make sure that we do not go into legalism, but that we stay close to Jesus and listening to his Spirit. That we are led by his Spirit into what we shouldn't do and into what we should do. Life is not about trying to avoid pitfalls and traps of sin, but also, by God's help, to listen to what he's saying and to obeying in doing what he's asking us to do. And there already you've gone way beyond Old Testament legalism. Let's steer well clear of this movement that wants to take believers back under the law and into legalism. We have been made free. We need to listen to the Spirit of God and we need to follow the Spirit. We have been set free. We are living a new life. People that do not know God, that are not in relationship with Jesus, they are under the law. And how they are governed, well, there's no perfect governance man-made anywhere in the world. We might have our fair share of corruption here in this country, but that's everywhere. The church, the kingdom of God, that is where we are called to live. We are free. John 11, verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? It can be found in no other. He is the way, the truth, and the life." Please stand with me this morning. Lord, we want to thank you that you have made a way for us. Thank you, Lord, that that stone has been rolled away and that you've already said, "Come out." You have called us out. Lord, it's time for some of us to get up and to come to you so that you can unbind us and make us new. You want to give us true life. You want us to be with you. You created us to know you. You want to give us that right to become your children, God. Co-heirs with Jesus Christ. You want us to share in your glory one day. You want a family. And there's so many that are lost. Let that not be said of us. Let us be of the redeemed. Let us be of the reconciled. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Lord, we believe in the resurrection. You are the resurrection and the life. Lord, you are here this morning to resurrect some from death into life. You have said, Lord, unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to each one here, that you'll press it on our hearts. If we need to make that decision, if we have yet to make that decision to surrender wholeheartedly to you, then you say, Lord, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. You want to pour out new life in this place. Holy Spirit, won't you convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Won't you impress on our hearts the need for salvation? For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So right now, I just want to make that appeal. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, won't you do that this morning? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand up high. Going to give one